Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is 7:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Bob Rose here, Greg Cassidy here, and it is a happy hump day, Trump day, with a lot to talk about, a lot of top headlines. Congresswoman Kat Kamick joining us in 1 hour. U.S. Open, great win for Ben Shelton, went late into the morning this morning, really finishing just hours ago, 3.5 hours ago. He beat Carlos Alcaraz. I have it on my cheat sheet. Anyway, he's now going to go against Francis Tiafoe, and that will be the semifinal. So pretty big deal. Because Ben Shelton is he's a local guy. He went to Buchholz, went to University of Florida, took number one nationals title at UF, and this was a heck of a match from what I'm reading about and seeing portions of this morning. Just a great match. So go Ben Shelton. We love you. U.S. and Canada still going at it. The trade war escalating. Middle East, some tensions still flaring there. You've got oil nearing about $100 a barrel. The market didn't like that yesterday. So some downward trends there. Good news is, man, the Gators are still just soaking it all in. The fans are anyway. I'm sure that the coach has got them working hard already to prepare for Saturday's game in the Swamp. Campbell, a small school from North Carolina. We're going to play, you could call it a patty cake game. Basically, small schools like that, their programs can't function if they don't play some big players who are willing to give them, you know, a paycheck, basically. It works out. It really works out well for everyone. And the Gators can maybe get one more game under their belt before, you know, they start really facing some of the tougher opponents, because we've got plenty of tough ones on the schedule. So everybody's looking forward to that. Saturday again in the Swamp. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, he's accusing Ford Motor Company of becoming too dependent on Chinese companies. But I don't think that he is really, like, accusing them. I mean, it is what it is, but he's trying to give them a warning that you don't want to be too tied to the Chinese.
Right.
And the reason that Duffy cares about it is because, well, there's national security issues that are at stake here. So Duffy sent a letter to the CEO and Jim Farley. And said, look, you're relying on Chinese technology and manufacturing. The strategy raises national and economic security concerns. And it has to do really with data and information. The more you intertwine your enterprise with China, it's the Chinese Communist Party. They're going to take that data. First of all, they're going to have access to proprietary information, all that has to do a lot with your products, but the bigger thing, or maybe just as big, is the customer data. So yes, that could involve potential national security risks. And Duffy pointed out several examples in the letter: Ford's continued use of licensed battery technology from China manufacturer CATL, also at its Blue Oval Battery Park in Marshall, Michigan. The company's joint venture with Chinese-owned Geely in Spain, reported discussions with BYD over hybrid vehicle components, and the company's delayed plans to reshore Lincoln models such as the Nautilus, which Duffy said could extend until 2030. Look, they're going to rely on Chinese supply chains. That's going to be a problem as well.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we don't want to get... We shouldn't want to get in bed any further than we are with the Chinese Communist Party. And when you do business with China, you're doing business with the party. I think we've established that by now for sure. And here's the thing. China makes it easy. They do it on purpose.
Yeah.
It is. It's almost like, really think about it. It's like a temptation. Come on. We're going to give you a better deal than anyone else. We've got the patent on the battery thing. We're going to make things good, you know. And they did that battery factory with them, Ford and the yep. Chinese in Michigan. Uh-huh. I tell you, the people there went crazy, tried to fight it.
Oh yeah,
but it was too late.
I didn't think it was going to go through, but apparently it did.
Yeah, it did. Well, yeah. You know how? Because legally, they signed apparently some kind of binding, you know, contracts maybe before people really knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. Hey, you hear that Ford's going to build a battery factory. You're all excited. I don't think they advertised too widely, at least initially in that small town, that, well, we're doing business with the Chinese Communist Party.
Because
they knew it wouldn't go over well. You know, whenever you've got to hide the truth from people, you have to question if it's the right move.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. When you're looking at dollars and cents, you're looking at money, you're looking at ease of doing business. Yeah, the Chinese are going to underbid anybody, everybody. They're going to come in. They're going to, you know, and they're great partners up to a point.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like having
somebody, somebody who's a total whiz. But, you know, once you get things rolling and use their expertise, then they're going to pull the carpet out from under you, or they're going to use you in a different way.
Uh-huh.
And again, it's part of that asymmetrical warfare. You hate to say it like that, but we can't trust the Chinese. No. And I have been hammering on this for, as long as I can remember, really. I saw them rising up economically.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing, but it's a bad thing when it's a communist regime who has so much control. And then when we read the things where it was actually amended into their constitution that it doesn't matter if you're a Chinese national, where you are in the world, when the Chinese Communist Party calls on you to do something, you have to do it. And if you don't, you may not pay the price, but I guarantee if you have any family members left, they will. That's how they get things done. That's why, you know... You say, oh, is that person a Chinese spy? You know when they become a Chinese spy? Whenever China tells them they are.
Exactly. They don't get a trench coat and a special encoder ring.
Oh, they don't?
No. They just, you do what we tell you.
Oh.
I know. You like that decoder ring's pretty cool.
Well, we do. We do have a picture in our mind of what a spy covert activity, what it's supposed to look like, what they're supposed to think like and all that.
A few years ago when there were just people out taking pictures of military bases, and then they were approached and, we're looking for McDonald's. Like, what? Yeah, they don't look like spies. They just look like people with a camera sometimes.
But isn't that interesting that was a common line? That just wasn't like one or two people that they busted on property they weren't supposed to be on. I think one of them was, in Key West, where we have, a naval station there. They were in restricted areas taking pictures.
Right.
I said, what are you doing here? Oh, we're looking for McDonald's.
It's like they were given the most American line that they could give them or something. Yeah.
Oh, you're looking for McDonald's. Oh, you're way... No, it's way back there. But there's one in every town.
Yeah.
So that excuse, if you will, could work.
There just wasn't one outside the military base where you were taking pictures, unfortunately.
No.
There's that.
No.
Let's say. Amazing.
So, yeah, we have that to deal with. And so Ford's been, put on notice here. And all the, other companies have to make these considerations. That's how we got in this trouble to begin with, when we offshored so many jobs and we allowed, other countries to build a lot of times on technology that we had actually established.
Mm-hmm.
And China was, the reverse engineering. They were kind of the masters of that in many respects. So as soon as you gave them anything to play with, they took it apart and they figured it out. And they said, we can produce this a lot cheaper than you. And in fact, I think we will. And then we'll sell it in your market and you'll go out of business. And they did that on a lot of different fronts.
Oh, yeah.
So the warnings about China cannot be overstated. Hopefully, the Ford Motor Company will take it seriously, and they'll be able to. Again, how do you do that? How do you, you can't just break ties overnight.
Right.
They have an investment. They have this partnership and this battery factory and all that. I guess the warning would be: do not further entangle yourself. At the very least, stop entangling yourself further.
It's just like Big Pharma. We've got to cut that cord too. I mean, we've started, but we got a long way to go there.
Yes, we do. Yep. You know what's coming up in a couple of days too? The 25th anniversary of 9/11,
mm-hmm.
And petitions been circulating, and I guess they got quite a few people to sign it to give it to Mayor Mamdani and say, please don't show up at this very sacred and solemn event. Please don't. Details on that and a whole lot more coming up after we do What's Bugging You. That's next. What's Bugging You? Call in, air it out, get it off your chest. It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those, but call in now. What's Bugging You? 877-975-9825. Call now. Well, good morning. It's going to be another awesome day. It's already a happy hump day, Trump day. Good morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is time now for a segment we call What's Bugging You? And it's a chance for you to call in and air it out, get whatever it is that's bugging you off your chest. Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Ready? 877-975-9825. And good morning, Douglas. What's bugging you?
Hi there. Well, over here in Palatka, we have one of the largest drywall manufacturers in the United States. It's foreign owned. And because they transitioned the coal generator systems to natural gas, we can't keep up with production with the gypsum they need, so they're importing it from Turkey. I'm former Coast Guard. I was the guy that would board vessels like that when they're smuggling guns from Cuba over to Grenada. There's a vulnerability. We need to start generating more coal. Thank you. God bless.
Okay. All right. Yeah, generating coal. I don't know who you would call. Call the drywall people? Call who's in charge of our trade, you know, with that. Where do you go up the ladder with that kind of thing? Yeah, I don't know. But if they're not doing it legally, he said smuggling, right?
Well, he compared the importing then to smuggling guns. So,
well, yeah. We import things legally all the time. I don't know where you go with that.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Greg and I, we can't even catch dogs, so we couldn't be a dog catcher, but you want us to track down some, you know, worldwide conspiracy about drywall and gypsum. I'll take it as a compliment, thinking that we have that kind of power
and
pull.
We'll take that. Yeah, we'll take
Good job, Greg.
Oh, yeah, we're on it.
Good morning. Let's go to Chris. What is bugging you?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, what's bugging me is people throwing out terms that they don't understand and could barely pass a civics exam. You know, we hear people call Trump a fascist, but they wouldn't really know what fascism looked like if they looked it in the face. And we hear everybody fear-mongering about these democratic socialists when all they're asking is for a pre-Reagan tax code. And I just find it really funny that Mamdani was the one who released all the files, and now there's a petition to not have him come down to the 9/11 site. What, because he's Muslim? I mean, we just got to do better. I think you shouldn't have a political opinion unless you can pass a civics exam. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, I think Mamdani has proven himself to be anti-Semitic, so that is an issue, and I think, you know, that's a problem with him being there. And also, when you say that this call for socialism is just pre-Reagan tax code, well, number one, the tax code before Reagan changed it was tremendously punitive, especially toward those people who were wealthy or making a lot of money. And I think he spurred the economy by lowering that tax rate. And by the way, the socialism push is far more than that. They're talking about forcing everybody into a Medicare-type program, which is unfeasible, undoable, but they would try to force it anyway, and it would be an utter and unbelievable mess on every level. So no, they are the danger that we've warned people about, in my opinion. Let's go to Joe. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning. Flock cameras, and the fact that I have not seen the first flock camera removed from state roads, that's what's bugging me, guys. Have a good one.
Interesting. Don't know exactly how much time they have. If it's a 30-day thing, 60 days, I don't know.
And there's also the clarification of removed and turned off. Because we were talking to the sheriff the other day, and he talked about them being off. So, you know, for what that's
correct.
Worth.
Yeah, that was my secondary thing, that also could be the case. Because on some of those, they might decide that they do want to utilize them if they have certain controls. On the ones on state roads, though, like you say, that's comes down from the governor. So those should be taken down. But I don't know what the time frame is on that. Yeah. Good morning. Let's go to Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, Bob and Greg. Good morning. What's bugging me is, although I'm completely planning to vote in November, and I think we're going to pull it off, what's bugging me is the concern about the Democrats taking over the House and the Senate. I just kind of think they have such a lineup of kooks, weirdos, and losers that I think it's already in the bag that we're going to keep both the House and the Senate. So I don't think people should be really worrying about that.
No, I want them to worry. I want them to show up. I don't want any complacency. Although I do agree, we just can't have that kind of mindset. Everybody needs to show up for the midterms, hardcore, no doubt. Hey, Doug, what's bugging you?
It's got to be the traffic, Bob. Ocala, Gainesville, everywhere you go, the traffic is just horrendous.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue is. I guess an ultralight, maybe, could be in your future. Ask the missus to get you one for your birthday.
There you go. Be nice, yeah.
Yeah, be careful, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, always.
Thunderstorms, wind, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. A new TSA program that will allow some people to go through security without a ticket? That's coming up. Also, 8:05, we're going to talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick. It's all on the way. I'm a Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. On News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 7:35 and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Shaping up to be what? Another great happy hump day, Trump Day. Top stories, U.S. Canada, we're still doing battle. It's like the Stanley Cup of trade going back and forth. Who's going to get the cup from Lord Stanley?
Oh, wow.
Who's going to tap out first? Hmm. We'll see. Middle East tensions are flaring. That has pushed oil up to near $100 a barrel. That's not a good thing. We need things to kind of settle down there. The market didn't like it either. But good news, especially if you're any kind of tennis fan, Gator fan, or you just like to root for the hometown guy. His name is Ben Shelton, played for Buchholz High School, played for the Gators, didn't just play for him, didn't just show up. He won a national singles championship for the Florida Gators. Ben Shelton, and he beat in a match, well, you could say this morning, really, because it didn't end until 3:30 this morning.
Oh, man.
Beat number 2 ranked Carlos Alcaraz, and Alcaraz is ranked like number 2 in the world. He's tough. So now Ben Shelton on Friday will face another American, Francis Tiafoe. That's going to be tough, but it's the semis already, so that's huge. And the Gators are playing Saturday. Something to look forward to there, 5:30 in the Swamp, and taking on a team, University Campbell. Well, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't really familiar with, looked it up. I think they're a school located near Raleigh. And it's one of those games where, yeah, we're paying them to come in and take a beating.
Wow.
Human test, crash test dummies,
absolutely.
I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is what they would be.
That's fine.
Don't think there's not going to be a surprise there.
No.
The Gators are going to, you know, this is where you just work things out, get everything working in tandem and everybody doing their job, you know, getting settled down. But the big games are yet to come for sure. But one of the nice things about the Gator game, and there's a lot of highlights. I mean, how many yards, how many total scoring, all that stuff. Florida hasn't scored this many points in a season opener in 32 years. But here's what I liked. Florida committed three penalties. Three penalties, that's it.
Wow.
Tell me that isn't a change from some of the previous years. And you know what I call that? I call that discipline.
Mm-hmm.
This coach gets it.
Yep.
And he has instituted in such a way that the players get it and understand it. Look, you have to be smart and disciplined to play college football, really to play at that level. The plays have become more complicated. Everybody's in on the plays now. It's not just like, okay, people in the trenches, just grunt this one out. No. Every play, and it's so much more complex than it is in years gone past. So you need guys that are really focused and smart. And then, of course, you need guys that are super strong and have proper technique. But that is a great sign. When you have three penalties, that tells me you've got players that are focused and understand the importance of it. How many times have we really blown opportunities in games with, you know, we our defense has them, you know, third and long, you know, and we stop the play, but then, oh, nope, there's a penalty on the play, and they get an automatic first down. I've seen it so many times, and I love that. That, to me, that's one of the highlights. I know, again, not the biggest of teams we're going to face, but the fact that you're that disciplined, you're paying attention, and the first game, you know, it's not sloppy, at least not from that standpoint, and I like that. So go Gators. Once again, and we're gonna talk to somebody who usually we end our conversations with a Go Gators, and that would be Congresswoman Kat Kamick, and we're going to talk to her coming up in, what, about 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes. So stick around for that. All right. What else do we have going on? This Lindsey Clancy?
Oh, yeah.
This whole thing? Apparently, some of the jurors tell on themselves after this mistrial, and it looks like appeared to admit that nurses on the panel used their own medical knowledge to help interpret toxicology evidence during deliberations. That comes as several jurors criticized the lone holdout who blocked a not guilty by reason of insanity verdict. So they were definitely going that way. And I said before, I go, though, there's one holdout on either side, and apparently that was it. He was very arrogant. He said he really did not take anything that anybody said. The nurses, he tried to ask a question about the medications, and we went back to the reports from South Shore Hospital. We had the toxicology report. We could see exactly the amounts. The nurses in the room spoke to that and talked about that. Asked to confirm that nurses were on the jury, the woman said they discussed the issue with the other jurors. She then complained that the holdout completely disregarded the information they gave him.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. So this suggests that the nurses may have used their clinical experience to explain evidence to the rest of the jury instead of relying solely on expert testimony presented in the court. And I mean, that would be hard to not help to explain things that to you, because of the line of work you do, are very easily understood terms. Mm-hmm. But for the average person, the layman, they don't have that expertise.
Well, and yeah, you are depending, yes, on just the evidence. But you've also, like it or not, you filter it through your own knowledge and how you interpret those facts that come to you.
Yeah, and look, if you have zero background in that area, even the expert testimony may not mean much to you.
Exactly.
It becomes, quote-unquote, gobbledygook. Yeah, I don't know what they were talking about, and they were yammering on about, you know, the medications or whatever, but look, you know, this crazy kook, she killed her three kids, a murderer, okay? That's the bottom line. Yeah, but, you know, Mr. Scavoli, can we at least explain to you what some of these toxicology things mean? You know, this is pretty, we see reactions, you know, there's evidence here that she was on way too much medication, mm-hmm. or the wrong stuff, whatever the information led them to. But, yep, there was a holdout. It's like, nope, no way, no how. Not going to go along with that. Guilty by reason of insanity. There is, look, everybody's entitled to their deal. That's, you know, part of being on a jury. And, you know, if the person feels that and they're not going to budge. I don't know, you know, what you can really do about that. I mean, they're going to probably, well, there's talk of a retrial, but there's talk that maybe it won't happen. Maybe they will work out some kind of a deal. But it is interesting. Hear from some of the jurors. They said, quote, he actually said one day in the end, well, why don't we have the judge come in and read it again?
Oh, my goodness.
And we were like, no, we have it in front of us. Mm-hmm. We don't need that. It's right here. One juror said that the holdout acknowledged having reasonable doubt after the panel watched a video interview, believing that they had reached an insanity verdict. She began signing the verdict forms. I was so excited, she said. The holdout then refused to find Clancy not guilty by reason of insanity, according to the juror. He said, but I'm still not going to say that she's not guilty by reason of insanity. The jurors said that he could not move past the fact that Clancy had viciously killed her children. Yeah.
It seems like, though, he was having trouble with the concept, just because you're saying not guilty doesn't mean that you're going to go just walk the streets the next day. It's like he was missing that part of the puzzle somehow, you know?
That's exactly what it sounds like, doesn't it? Yeah. Like, well, what do you mean not guilty? As soon as he heard not guilty, nothing else mattered. He goes, no, guilty.
Right.
She killed the kids.
Yeah.
And I thought we all agreed she killed the kids. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, you're confusing me by saying not guilty by reason of insanity. What they should say, well, I guess, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but something like, She killed her kids, but she was insane at the time. Mm-hmm. Would you agree? She was insane at the time, out of her flipping mind, couldn't tell right from wrong at the time that she murdered the kids. Mm-hmm. Then maybe you'd get the guy to go, yeah, and go, okay, well, legally it has to be written in these terms.
It is kind of when you really analyze it and look at it through his lens, it is a little awkward that we phrase it that way, because you are still guilty of the crime,
right,
per se, but due to the reason of insanity or whatever caveat you've got there, keeps you from getting the just guilty verdict.
Yeah.
Maybe that I could see why some people have an issue with that phrasing.
Yeah, it should be guilty, but insane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Guilty while insane. You're guilty
while you were insane. Yeah, there you go.
Right? Under the influence of insanity.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're about, 15, 20 minutes away from connecting with Congresswoman Kat Kamick. We've got the top stories, top headlines that we're going to get to coming up next on the Bob Rose Show. It's a happy hump day, Trump day, 97.3 The Sky. Oh, yeah. It's going to be another awesome day in paradise, my friends. It is what you make of it. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. No doubt about that. And look, top stories, U.S. and Canada, we're still going at it, you know, toe to toe. And it's not getting any better as far as this trade war goes. Who's gonna take it down a notch? What's going to have to happen first? Well, we've got other concerns, too. You've got oil going up to nearly $100 a barrel. We're going to see that reflected at the pumps. We probably already have, you know, while we're sleeping overnight.
Did they say about 7 cents or so overnight, something like that, I think?
Was it that much?
I think so. In some places, yeah.
Wow.
Ouch. Yeah, I
know. Yeah. And look, like I said, it is an emotional thing. When you see the sign and it's below $4 a gallon, you might not be happy, but you're not going to let it bother you. When it goes over four and consistently for a few days, it starts to wear on you. I think a little bit. It's a perception thing. It's an emotional thing. But yes, at the end of the day, of course, it is real. You're going to be taking more money out of your pocket to fill your gas tank. So,
yeah.
Look, with the midterms coming up, everything is going to count. Remember, things that we notice, we think about, and we may not like, the left will make a much bigger deal out of all of it. They have to constantly remind the lefty constituents, oh, yeah, the economy is not as good as they're saying, and the gas prices are really high, and yeah, they keep using, like, well, we know the gas was cheaper before we went to war with Iran. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, they've got to find a goalpost that can make it worse, because they can't say compared to under Biden or something like that, because they're not going to. But if they can find a goalpost that's a little closer, well, that sounds like it's the worst ever.
Yes, that's it, and that is a great way to put that. That's exactly what they do. Yeah, they give you the worst kind of case scenario, even if it doesn't necessarily make sense in overall context. When did that ever matter to the left? It doesn't.
Right.
But the left has, they have plenty of problems that, you know, I don't know how much the media can really cover for them. They'll attempt to. But it was Senator Rick Scott was on Fox Business News and basically talking about, Democrats in general are worried. They're worried about people like AOC. Is she really the leader of the party? That's not, there's a good percentage of Democrats that aren't nearly as wacky as these leaders.
That's true.
Yeah, you've got Zohran Mamdani. And then you've got that streamer Hassan Piker. I mean, if anybody spends any time listening to anything that he has said, there is no way that you would say, hey, wait a second, this Al-Sayed is like best buddies with him? There's just no way, no how. Here, we forget, there are pockets of the hardcores. You know, we call them blue cities, blue states. There are pockets where you're going to get some of these people, you know, elected and reelected, and they're going to gain power. But once you get beyond that, you get to flyover territory, dirt farming territory, whatever terms they want to apply to us, real people, There's a real disconnect where people go, no, these people are radical. No, I don't want socialism. No, I don't want all this gender-bending garbage that's going on. No, of course biological males should not compete with females. Of course not. You know, when they get out into that broader sphere and get outside their little blue comfort zones. And I hope that's what, you know, what we discover. I hope there's not either a total amount of ignorance on the left that's just going to pull the lever because it's a D. We know it's a certain percentage. But then you've got the ones that, even though they're educated, want to buy into this idea of socialism. And that, I hope the numbers are not big for that either in general. But we're not going to know. That's why everybody's got to show up at the midterm. This is going to be critical. I know people are tired of hearing it, but don't sit back and think it. You know, we've got it in the bag, and don't sit back and pout like a little baby because President Trump didn't do everything you wanted. You know, the Rolling Stones said a long time ago, you know, you can't always get what you want, you know, but hopefully maybe you'll get at least what you need. And I can tell you what we don't need. We don't need socialism. We don't need any more left of center influence in our politics. We need less of it. But everybody has got to stand up.
Oh, yeah.
They've got to stand up. And even if you've got to hold your nose, I'll give you a clothespin if you need one. That's what we need. We need sky clothespins.
I was thinking the same thing. Put a little logo on them and hand them out. Oh, yeah.
We missed our calling. We were marketing geniuses.
I know.
All right, but then we'd have to work, too.
Oh, forget it.
Hey, don't go anywhere. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick. A lot of issues at play here. We're going to speak to her next right here on 97.3 The Sky.